Someone does already. Yes, he should be. No, he brings me one of each. But if there's a choice, I've moved over to this. If there's a choice, we're talking about now first place or second place. It has knocked Mountain Dew out of first place, yes. No, it just knocked it out of first place. Okay, Tuesday night, Chavis Olovus, what? Chavis Olovus, yeah. Okay, I have to publicly thank Jack Calla. I looked at what Leif told, and the fourth, what we learned yesterday, I had a certain, although this is a little unclear, it's even a little schwer, as he says, it's not sichli, something's not sichli. So I had a certain interpretation, but the Leif Tov learns differently, Jack pointed out to me. And then I looked at the Leif Tov, he taka says that. Then I looked at the Chodesh Halavos, and it's taka, the Leif Tov is right. And therefore I did not learn right pshat. That the point of the fourth quality of Ha'orah Toranis is that without Ha'orah Toranis, we would, since it's a basic value, that the more Tova Hashem bestows upon you, you owe Hashem more. Not only is that true about life, and that's the whole fundamental principle of the Chovas Halvavas's viewpoint on life and being an Eved Hashem and serving Hashem, but now we see from this Chovas Halvavas that that's also the principle and the point what makes the Jews the chosen people, a special people. And as Hashem made us special because he did special things for us, so he expects special things in return. Now, so the Chovas Halvavas really says his fundamental yesod and outlook on life, that like the most basic principle on life, he really says it on two levels. The whole Sefer just says it's Stam, and it's, you know, it's just true. But here he's saying it legabe the chosenness of the Jewish people, that we're Am Segula, and we're Am Hashem, and we're Bonam Lamokam. So how did that come about? So he didn't just go over to a group of nations and, you know, pick one out. He did it by doing more tovos for that people, taking them out of Mitzrayim and doing all the things that he did for them, as he explains. That only came about through the Torah system. In other words, in the Seichel system, if the world would be full of Avram Avinus, you know, just working with their Seichel on serving Hashem because of the Tova he does for us and gratitude and the whole system, so there's nations, you know, all different nations and all different kinds of things happening to them. You wouldn't end up with the specialness, you wouldn't certainly not necessarily end up with the specialness of the Jewish people, you know. Less, more, maybe America would be to have to serve Hashem the most because they had the biggest Tova. We would look at America and say they're the richest people, they're the most free people, Hashem did the most Tova for them. There might have been other nations that felt blessed by Hashem and felt they should serve Hashem more. You wouldn't make a nation like a cut above, a whole different level, a whole different, like, so that's because of the Torah. The Torah teaches us and tells us, it's not really a mitzvah. That's why, like, it's a little funny that till now we've been talking about mitzvahs and do this and don't do that and do this and don't do this and the whole Torah system of tzivuyim. Now he's just saying, like, the Torah informs us that the Jewish people are special because Hashem, I took out of a triumph, I says Hashem Chalkan Fin Yesharim, Vatem Tiulim Amlechaz Gonim, Vatay Kadosh. That's what he quotes those psukim. So that is only known through the Torah. Seichel itself would not, you wouldn't reach that conclusion. So that was point number four. Now we move on to point number five. Daf Tzadik Bey is the third line. Ba'ofen HaChamishi. Now, Ba'ofen HaChamishi is really something that we've said many, many times. But he, you know, now he's saying it as one of the things on the list. And it's a shtickle similar to number one, but it's not exactly number one. Number one was that if you follow your Seichel, is really, so you're buffeted by two extremes. You're buffeted by the extreme of taiva, where you just, you know, no gevulim, do what you want, and total disgust and turned off by Olam Hazeh, and you don't participate in Olam Hazeh at all. Those are the two extremes. And the Torah provides you with a medium. Ovah Nachamishi is similar to that, but it's different. Ovah Nachamishi is really also something we learned about in Perek Beis, but Perek Beis was in general, and now it's specific. That with just Ha'ora Sichlis, so the person would be led astray by his Tidus, and he wouldn't be able to exercise the control just through Ha'ora Sichlis, because he wouldn't be trained to do so. And the Ha'ora Toronis is the training ground to exercising self-control. So this was really in Perek Beis also, but now he's making a list, so it belongs on the list. So our Torah is the training ground for self-control. So even if you're holding by it, you're not holding by it, you understand it, you don't understand it, it's sort of like the first, but the first was saying that Torah provides a happy medium between participation in this world and non-participation in this world. And here he's saying that, you know, you wouldn't be able to exercise the self-control necessary. He says it's a stepping stone, it's a training ground. He says it's a training ground. He doesn't back off from his Chiddush Dikra perspective that the Torah is a training ground for the higher value of Ha'ora Sichlis. And I only say higher value conceptually, because you see, Avraham Avinu had only Ha'ora Sichlis, and he ended up being Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Rambam doesn't talk about that. But we know that it's true that the mitzvahs are not only the vehicles of the Ora Toranis, but they also happen to be the perfect vehicles for the Ora Sichlis also. So that we know, okay. That that's not the point, it's just, it's important to keep in mind. He's not denigrating. But the Chazal's view doesn't talk about that. And he talks about that the Torah is a stepping stone to higher values, where you're Ovid Hashem and your Hergeshim and your feelings, and you're always getting deeper and deeper into gratitude and understanding Hashem and feeling grateful to Hashem, etc., etc. Sha'ara Torah had done umabos a stepping stone to Haras Hasechem, umadvichaleret leads you there, and may Sha'adam Zokuk min Ura, because from when the person is young, Lenihu, it's necessary for him to have from when he's young. Nihul Badrocha Batsuras Ta'avosav. He has to have a misgeret to control his taivus and his desires. Achi is chazik the satir sikhla. He has enough sechel to stop the nonsense, which is like when he's around 80 to 90 years old. B'chein hanoshim b'chalushi hadas, where we have to censor this out. It means women who are not trained. In his days, the women were not trained to use their minds. So they had, you know, basic intelligence or basic instinct or whatever, but they weren't trained. Nowadays, they're trained to use their minds. But in his days, they were not trained to use their minds. So he lumps them together with chalushe hadas, people who are not so intelligent. They don't follow the seichel, because seichel is not so well developed. That's what he calls the Torah. He called that the first thing too, but here his point is, it teaches you self-control. So how does the Torah do it? What's magic? What's the magic of the Torah? So he says the magic of the Torah is the carrot and the stick. Your seichel is not developed. Your taivas are pretty highly developed. The Torah teaches you self-control. How does it do it? With the carrot and the stick. So the Torah hinges upon two foundations: being scared and wanting a reward. That's, and he already said in the second parak that in this parak he's makbil. Ha'ora Toranis has charba onesh as its underpinnings, and Ha'ora Sichlis has natural feelings towards Hashem.
So what is he saying here?
So you have to start off with being with the Torah. You start off with the stepping stone of Ara Toronis, because that trains you and teaches you and guides you to have self-control. And how does it do that? Because it has this carrot and stick approach. So you're going to learn self-control with the carrot and the stick, with the mora and the tochelas, umishalo chisim, now. Okay. And then, it's a stepping stone, you reach a higher madrega, where you don't need any more the motivation of schar v'onish to be over Hashem, as he explained. And now he says, umishalo chisim, b'chol v'olsev atarosiyas. Don't get me wrong, he says. Someone who does everything right, even if his motivation is schar v'onish, and he listens to everything Hashem says because of that, he's going to get his reward, a big reward. Yeah, but he's a tzaddik, he's a chosid. The yiska l'gmul tov, golem hazeh, golem haba. It's wonderful, but it can't compare when you step up to the next level. U'mishin esromim bohem, el ha-mishmas, haba, l'behor, ha-sichlis. He's like, ba'alos ha-neviyim, he's more than a tzaddik, more than a chosid. Tzaddik and a chosid does everything right. This guy is flying with Hashem. He's living with Hashem. He feels bonded with Hashem. He's b'maylus hanaviyim b'skulas Hashem hanalim v'yeh gemula b'olam hasimcha. He says a meridic point here with this one word he throws in, and he's making a gedaldic point. He says a person that's motivated by schar v'onesh will not do mitzvahs b'simcha necessarily, because that's not, he's not engaged in doing mitzvahs with a feeling of joy. He's doing it with a gun to his head or with the hope of a reward. So that you know, that doesn't, but if you're holding there and you understand what you're doing and you go, wow, Hashem, like unbelievable, then you don't need a carrot, you don't need a stick, and you're full of joy, and joy permeates your life. And he wants to listen to Hashem, he wants to be good. Yeah. That's in Ha'ara Sichlis. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. So he enjoys listening to Hashem. Just like, you know, you end up enjoying, if you like someone, you love someone, so you enjoy doing something for them. That's your enjoyment. That's your satisfaction. That's what you like. So that you love. There's nothing. Sometimes people reach a madrega. So madrega, I hold, that's attainable by people. If you get into tefillah, there are people that look forward to the next time they can daven. They feel that tefillah, they enjoy so much that they're just standing and talking to Hashem and telling him what they need and just being meshabeach him. And they look forward to it. They get, oh man, mincha's over. What time is Maariv? I can't wait. That's the way tefillah is supposed to be. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch describing tefillah, you're like, you're flying. So that's what he's saying. A person that goes to the second level, he's talking about the quality of the first level. But now he like goes and he says, okay, you get to the second level, then you're like a Navi, and you're able to attain simcha in your avodas Hashem, because you're into it. You want to do it. You look forward to doing it. It's great. And you're zochet to simcha and tainug by listening to Hashem. Then he brings down a whole slew of psukim for the rest of the paragraph. So we'll stop here because it's 10 after 9. And he brings down a whole bunch of psukim showing that people have simcha when they serve Hashem. Or is it world outside that the Yisrael have simcha? And he says that is a meridic point. He says, they get an olam haba from the Chodesh Havavos. It sounds like the indescribability of olam haba, the inability to grasp the tainug of olam haba, is for this second level. It's mashmai. When he says over the psukim that the tainug of olam haba is indescribable, he connects it to, because of the pasuk itself, he connects it to this level. Very interesting. As if he's saying, like, the other one, okay, you'll get all the number, but that we could describe already. It's not like, it's not like an indescribable pleasure. It's a describable pleasure, but this is indescribable. But his point in number 5 was that the Tahara Toronis is a stepping stone, a necessary stepping stone,
because it teaches self-control, and you would not be able to do that on your own. You would, it's too strong. Taiva and Gashmius and Chumrius is too strong, so the Torah teaches you self-control. How? Because it sets up a Schar V'Onesh system, so it points a gun to your head, and it holds out a candy, and it says, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, and you get to exercise your self-control muscle till it gets strong, and then you can take the leap to the next level. Next week, we're taking, I decided I'm taking vacation. So, next week of Yachei Kala, if you, we're going to learn Chovos Halvavos from 8:15 to 8:30, and no Mishnah Berurah. We're taking off Mishnah Berurah, and a Mitzvah Shem in Elul, taking off Mishnah Berurah. We're going to learn, we're going to start Hilchos Atilus Yadayim, Mitzvah Shem in Elul, Gimel Elul. That's it. We'll take off. No, so no Mishnah Berurah during Yachei Kala, or even the next week. That's the present plan. Chovos Halvavos will be before Meir, but 8:15 to 8:30 will be Chovos Halvavos for the next 2 weeks only. And then after that, it'll be after Meir, like now. Just during the Yachei Kala, we'll have Chovos Halvavos 8:15 to 8:30. And no Mishnah Berurah. What? Yeah, that all. 6 seconds. Okay, actually, we're up to very important.